does he think he is? You've heard that expression, maybe you've used it. What's behind it is this assumption that the person speaking, whoever they are, does not have the authority. They either don't know what they're talking about or they don't have permission to say or do what they're doing. This theme of authority is what's presented to us really in both scriptures today. So I want to lean into it, what it means, how it works, and how we live deeper into it. Most of us have some kind of ambivalent relationship with authority, usually. And that often comes because we have experienced it not at its best, where it's been used as power over us, whether it's to control or repress, rather than really the going to the root of that word, to author, to authorize work, to be and to do. The gospel story today, Jesus' listeners comment on his authority with amazement. And it's actually not so much amazement at the what is for us kind of the exotic moment of casting out an evil spirit. Evil spirits in Jesus' time were commonplace. That's how you explained anything you didn't understand. So a lot of things were seen to be spirits moving among and within people and places. What really amazed them, as they say it, is this. First, that Jesus speaks like he has any authority at all. He's an artisan. It's a low-status job, very low status. There is no authority to say or do anything outside his role. Later in Mark 6, a few chapters, it's going to get a little hotter. They're going to say, who does he think he is? We know him. He's from Nazareth. We know his parents. What does he think he's saying? The other thing that makes them amazed, though, they say, is that he doesn't sound like the authorized teachers, the scribes. That he's actually making sense and he's resonating at a deep level, which is not like their teachers that are kind of passing along the knowledge. It seems like his authority is not just coming from the outside, but that it's coming from the inside. So really, that's what we're talking about today, the difference between internal and external authority and how they work together. There's a place for both. Maybe you've heard it talked about the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. That's a reference to the Apostle Paul. He talks a lot about that, especially in 2 Corinthians. And he says there is a huge difference, and that it's the spirit of the law that matters most. In fact, he says in Romans that it's that law, that spirit, is written on our hearts. It's already there, resident. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about when we read his letter from Birmingham jail a couple of weeks ago, where he said, there are laws, but not all of them are just laws. That for a law to be just, it has to promote the flourishing of all things. It has to be part of an ecosystem that benefits everything. And if it doesn't, it's unjust. So what he seems to be saying is, again, linked to this third facet, which is that reading from Deuteronomy where we started, could sound, at first reading, very heavy-handed, very top-down, fierce, violent. My translation condensation, it's not a translation, so that's the condensation of this. The context is the people saying, having said at Mount Sinai, this is too much for us. We don't want to hear more from God directly. It burns. It's too hot. Send us someone to tell us what God says. A little bit of distance there. And so God says, okay, I'll send you the prophets. But you've got to listen to the prophets. If you don't listen, you will answer to me, God. If the prophets don't listen to me and speak the truth, they will answer to me, and I will strike them down. They will die. So that can feel fierce to start with, but at second or third pass, listening in, folding it into to the wisdom tradition, its truth starts to rise, that everything has to align with something deeper than itself. Think of the example of the compass needle. You know, a compass needle, it can't just point anywhere at once. Its only use is if it actually points north. When we talk about what's true, that is something of what we're leaning toward. What is that compass needle pointing toward? And we usually talk about it at three different levels. Credit Richard Rohr for kind of parsing this out this way in a helpful way. We're often thinking about my truth, what's real for me, what's true for me, or we might be talking about our truth, what makes this group who we are and how we are. Or we might be talking about the truth, what's true for everyone everywhere. All three can live together. In fact, they're kind of nested. But very often we don't do that. We compartmentalize things and we prioritize one over the other. And that's where authority starts to get a little bit more tangled. So, my truth, that's a really essential place to start. That's where we live. But if I get stuck in my truth, if that's all there is, that's narcissism. That doesn't include a bigger we. So if Jesus had just done whatever he wanted to, nobody would be saying, wow, look at him. What authority, what inner authority. It's something more than that. Our truth, that group authority, it's also essential. It's what holds us together. It's what gives us a common identity. It's our core DNA. But if we get stuck here, then we are in the bubble. Then it's groupthink. Then we don't know what we don't know. We kind of just reinforce our values without ever kind of being penetrated from the outside or stepping outside of that. And we've seen history is littered with what happens when we get too deep in the bubble. And then the truth, that is also so important to align ourselves with, but the danger here is that unless we do the struggle, the hard work of knowing my truth and finding our truth, we can attach those things to the truth as if they were the same thing. That's fundamentalism. When we short-circuit the spiritual journey and just attach what we think to what we think is true for everyone everywhere. But when they come together dynamically, that's when authority gets its mature power. And I think that's when we can start talking about what inner authority is and means and does. It's connected to source. That is why the crowd says to Jesus, wow, a new teaching with authority. It's actually not new. Almost nothing Jesus says is new. He has a great fidelity to the prophets. It's very conservative. However, he speaks it in a new way with this, again, connection of all of these levels together. Experience that is got a compass reading and comes back as a kind of ethical teaching that affects everyone. Maybe you remember this from other Sundays where we read scripture together and Jesus says, you have heard it said, ... and he quotes some prophet, usually Isaiah, but I say to you. And if you listen to what he says, it's not something that overturns what went before, it just amplifies it and it roots it. It roots it in the heart, it roots it in God, and it roots it in the community. So, Here's an example, the most famous one. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That actually comes from the Code of Hammurabi, and it gets repeated in Exodus. And Jesus says, but I say to you, if anyone hits you on the cheek, turn the other one. That can mean a lot of things, but it's not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth anymore, exactly. Or to take the even more pithy way Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi said it, an eye for an eye and the whole world is blind. So how do we do this? How do we find our inner authority and act from it, both individually and in a collective way? How do we tap into that wisdom teaching? That is the thing that's so amazing here and so fresh and so new. The thing that makes us rooted and powerful in the spirit. Well, if everything worked the way it does, it happens naturally. But this is actually kind of a part of growing up. Adolescence is when we start to gently, with the help of the community or not, push against authority, received authority, to find out where our own internal line is. And usually that happens, and sometimes it doesn't. We have seen what happens when adults grow up without having learned that. And so there is no internal line of authority. Adult children, it can become devastating, which we've had some direct firsthand experience of, and maybe even have experienced it in our own lives, because many of us didn't quite get that calibration early. And so we have to learn it later in life. It becomes something for the wisdom years. I'm learning it every day. Where is that inner authority? How does it sound? So when it happens now, most of the people I'm speaking with are adults. We're in our wisdom years or leaning toward it. We're saying, what matters most? What's really true? Here, here, here. COVID, I think, has helped us. This season of our COVID lockdown has helped us in ways we never planned, extraordinary ways, start to listen in a little bit more intently and intensely to that that inner authority. A number of our members have made radical changes in their lives that weren't due to any huge external pressure. It came out of a listening, saying, I wasn't planning to do this now, but suddenly I know now is the time. And when we hear it as discernment, as I've been listening, and many of us have listened into these conversations, we say, ouch, we don't want to lose you, but you're right. This sounds like discernment. You've been listening well, and you're hearing something real and important. This past week, I had to make a decision. It was a parish life decision. It, for me, was thorny because there were so many points of view and so many things that were good and not quite aligned. And I was talking to people all over the parish and outside the parish, and it was distressing. I just couldn't land. And then it was one conversation with two people, and someone said something, and someone amplified that. And it was like the keys, the tumblers just turned and thunk. You've had that feeling, right? Where suddenly you just know. And it wasn't that the knowledge was new, that wasn't a new solution. It just landed in me. And it was very easy then to say, here's what we're gonna do. I share that because it's such a garden variety example. We've all had this happen. We know how to do this. This inner authority is not just doing what we want. It's not inflating ourselves to a certain size or deflating ourselves to a certain size. It's just being the size that we are and listening a little bit longer, listening between the lines, listening again, listening to the voices that aren't in the room yet. You know, listening ahead, listening behind, this broad and deep listening. We do this individually, and we can do it collectively as well. Out of the listening, this kind of listening, something new arises. Something that we couldn't have planned, couldn't have gotten to on our own, but with this collective listening at all these levels, my, our, and the truth, suddenly something comes. And I think that is relevant, maybe even essential to our common life where we find ourselves just now. So at our annual meeting last week, we shared the budget, the 2021 budget, which because of the pandemic has cut really all program to the bone. And its deepest cut is that we feel the most is in the area of music right now. Lots of strong feeling, because music matters so much to so many of us. It's what brought us here. It's what makes our hearts sing and sustains our soul. So here's a great opportunity to listen, to claim our inner authority at that multiple mature level. Because there's no right answer here. I mean, there's a lot of us think we have the right answer, but that is a very sign that it's not that easy. It's not like it's an accounting error. So how do we listen when there's so many truths in the room? Well, again, it's this thing we call discernment, listening again, hearing more, seeing more, knowing more. And the decision we make then becomes more holistic. The Quakers are the ones that can teach us the best. They actually build this into their liturgy. When they gather, they don't do anything until they hear the Spirit speak. And so usually a gathering is an hour of complete silence. Sometimes someone will speak. Sometimes someone will sing. Sometimes many people will speak. But the presumption is that it's all coming from this deep, inner, collective listening. So I want to invite us to listen in this season at that level, that mature level of inner authority, where we're listening to my truth, our truth, and the truth. Each of us, my truth, each of us have our opinions. But there is this deeper level. See if you can listen to your own opinion from the level of hunger and need. That's something I learned from Javier, my husband, who teaches acting. He insists that the actors have to find their hunger, their need, or nothing they say or do will actually resonate. It will not be truthful because it's not rooted deep enough in themselves. So listen for your hunger, listen for your need in your authority. The second, our truth. As we listen to one another in this season, we're listening often for our core values. We can name them, four or five or six of them. And there's always, I'm assuming, there's core values are more discovered than they are manufactured. We're listening for something that's already there. So it usually means a couple are aspirational and a couple probably haven't even been named yet. But they're there. But as we listen to those things without which we would dissolve, those things that are us, and as we listen again, see if you can listen to your neighbor or something you haven't heard yet. The neighbor you like and the neighbor you despise. That's a challenge, but it will reveal something, because nobody's wrong 100% of the time. So there's going to be truth that is new that's going to come from the edges of this gathering. And then finally, the truth. At this level of truth, this is when we say, what is God calling us to do and to be? And that's highly imaginative. It is, again, more about discovering than manufacturing, and it's going to be involved in my truth and our truth. So see if you can notice patterns. What keeps coming up? It's a little bit like that core DNA. What are the persistent themes over and over? And if we're going to follow the way of Jesus, look to the margins. Who are we not hearing from? What's not being said? What's not at the table? Who is not at the table? That might include the very young, the very timid, the ones who just aren't here, the ones who don't look like us. It could include St. Paul's of the distant past. It could include the St. Paul's of the future. That could include the Norwalk of the future. That's part of the call. As we listen in this way, it will take time. And we will hear something new. And I don't mean brand new, I mean new like Jesus. Like the crowd said, wow, a new teaching with authority. It will resonate in us like that, individually and collectively. It will connect my truth to your truth to the truth. We're headed to Easter. Lent starts in just a couple of weeks. I say that because I am already thinking about the Great Vigil and this prayer that does something to me every time I pray it. It's extraordinary. There's this line in this prayer that we pray just as the lights go on, as we erupt into Easter, that says, things that were cast down are being raised up, and things that had grown old are being made new. This is more than a repair job. This is metamorphosis. I was watching a little documentary on butterflies, and once again it brought in front of me this miracle. The chrysalis melts down completely. It doesn't just grow wings, it melts. And what grows in that chrysalis, all the same DNA, all the same material, but utterly new. That's a miracle. And it's happening all the time. And it's happening to us right now. So let's listen, notice, with and for and to and around one another, to where God is calling us, what God is making of us in this moment. What do you hear? Let's be quiet for a couple of minutes as we pray.